السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، والصلاة والسلام ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما أنا في الدنيا إلا كراكب استظل تحت شجرة ثم راح وتركها، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for all praise and thanks belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Every favor, every blessing that we enjoy is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His choices, blessings and mercies upon His most beloved and our beloved Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. The day of Jumu'ah is a great boon and favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we get to experience the best day of the week. Sayyidul Ayyam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us and said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ, that the day of Jumu'ah is the best day upon which the sun rises. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with that, exhorted us and commanded us to increase our salawat, our durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially on the day of Jumu'ah. This is not any favor that we will do upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is only in our interest that we send salawat and durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The bounties, blessings in this world and the rewards in the hereafter are countless with regard to sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In doing so, we will be fulfilling a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very famous verse that we always hear, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His malaika, His angels, send salawat, confer blessings and mercies upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing you and I, says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, that you also confer and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings to be conferred upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and send your salam and salutations to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does so, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do so. So when we send salawat, it is a response to the call, it is a response to the command, the direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is only in our favor, it is only our benefit that we send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That said, today's discussion will revolve around travel in light of Islam. Traveling in light of Islam. So there are various purposes and reasons why people travel. Now, as we're coming towards the end, many take this opportunity to travel for various reasons. And if we look through history, there is a great tradition of travel for various reasons. Some of those reasons are praiseworthy, some of those reasons are rewarding, and there are other reasons for travel which will incur the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore they are frowned upon, and we should remain away from those types of travel. And then there are those types of travel which are permitted and permissible. From amongst the types of travel that are mazmoom, that are blameworthy, is if that travel incurs the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Like traveling to a place where yukthiru fihi al-ma'asi, أو يكثر فيه المعاصي, the sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rife in that place. So this is not somewhere that one as a Muslim should travel to. ويقل فيه الحلال, those things which are permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very scarce. So such places we should not travel to. In the same way, any type of travel that will incur the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like for a female to travel without a mahram, this will also be the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, that type of travel will be considered madhmum and blameworthy. Then there is as-safar al-mubah, the one that is permitted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to seek our sustenance. So if one is to travel in order to do some business, in order to meet some customers, etc. So this is something that is allowed in Islam. But as long as it is within the confines of Sharia, it is within the boundaries of Sharia. In the same way, a person travels in order to lighten his mind, to relax the body. Sometimes we go away to the mountains or we go to the seaside in order to refresh our minds and bodies. This is what we tend to do towards the end of the year. So all this is considered as permissible and permitted as long as it remains within the hudud of Sharia, within the boundaries of Sharia. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that allowance. However, if we as believers are to attach noble intentions to our travel, then we will be rewarded for that travel as well. And there are various intentions that we may attach to traveling. Just like when a person comes to the masjid, his intention is to perform salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the intention. There is one reward written only for that intention. And then when he carries out that action, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies his reward for that action from 10 times until up to 700 times more, based on his khulus, his intention and his sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the reward. So he makes an intention for salah when coming to the masjid. He makes an intention for dhikr, makes an intention for dua, for tilawat of Quran. All of these intentions will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he carries out that action or not. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah confers this reward upon this person only for the sake of that intention that he has made. So in the same way, when we travel, then we should attach noble intentions. Perhaps that I will learn something, or that I will see something that will increase my iman. I will see some of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will increase me in faith. Or that I will help and assist somebody that I see who is in need. All of these intentions, if we attach to our travel, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us accordingly. So the types of travel that are encouraged and that are rewarding are those that are done for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for some benefit in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enrich ourselves with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way, or to carry out an act of ibadah, like going for hajj or going for umrah. These things are rewarding, and therefore this type of travel is something that is rewarding and it is encouraged as well. Or to birrul walidain, to go and travel to meet one's parents and to serve them. This is a noble intention. This travel is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasilatul rahim, and also to travel in order to meet one's family members. Simply with this intention to meet family members, this is also a greatly rewardable action by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are various ahadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to visit our family members. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ar-Rahim mu'allaqatun bil-arsh. The mending and maintaining of family ties, it is given a form, and we do not know the form. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us that rahim, family ties, attaches itself to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it makes a dua, a supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and says, Man wasalani wasalahu Allah. That whomsoever maintains me, meaning whosoever maintains family ties, wasalahu Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him close. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelope him in his mercy. And then it says, وَقَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Whosoever severs me and cuts off the family ties, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut him off as well. Such a person will be cut off from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are serious consequences also for breaking of family ties as well. So when one travels for the sake of maintaining family ties, then he or she will become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with this hadith. In fact, it is a sign of iman, it is a sign of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. This is a hadith of Sahih Bukhari. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Whomsoever who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes in the last day, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. Then let him maintain his family ties. So this is a sign of iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in Allah and belief in the last day, that a person maintains family ties. It is a sign of iman. So let us consider this when we are traveling as well, that we make this intention that when we are going out, we will try to meet family members. This is a noble intention to make. It is a noble purpose for travel. أو لطلب العلم. Traveling out to seek knowledge, to seek knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase oneself in knowledge. So there is a long-standing tradition in Islam. If we look back at our pious predecessors, travel was something that they undertook without any limits and without any boundaries. One example that we hear of very often is that of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah hails from Bukhara. He traveled for 16 years continuously after having performed Hajj. Then he traveled for 16 years continuously seeking ahadith. He traveled to Egypt, he traveled to Basra, to Kufa, in the Hijaz, and Samarkand, and various other places he traveled, collecting around 600,000 ahadith. Various teachers, over 1,000 teachers he had approached and he had studied under, and he learned hadith and he took hadith from over 1,000 teachers, amassing 600,000 hadith. We cannot even comprehend a person collecting 6,000 hadith in his memory. It is very far-fetched for us. It may sound impossible, but these were the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he traveled for a duration of 16 years collecting these ahadith, these teachings and sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is upon what, from which he compiled the Sahih al-Bukhari as we know it, the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So such toil and trouble that he went under and he undertook for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which reason we have so much of our deen that has been preserved for us to practice. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him, and may Allah reward all of those pious predecessors who had toiled in this manner in order to bring the deen to us in this pristine manner. For us in today's time, seeking of knowledge is much easier and much more comfortable. We do not have to travel such far distances, and the modes of travel are also so easy, and the modes of communication also are so easily found and easily available. There is really no excuse for us to increase ourselves in knowledge. There is no excuse for us to increase ourselves in knowledge. So one of the maqasid and one of the reasons for travel, the noble reasons for traveling, is that of seeking knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوِ التَّفَكُّرُ فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Pondering over Allah's creation. This is another reason, another noble reason for traveling. That we know of some beautiful scenery, perhaps a mountain, perhaps a monumental waterfall or something like that, to go and see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. There are signs for those. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. The alternation between the day and the night, there are signs for those of intelligence and those of intellect. There are signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth. So when we see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be a time for us to marvel at the power and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with regard to this very verse, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيهَا. That woe be to that person who recites this verse and he does not ponder over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not ponder over this subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah further describes them and says, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. They are those intelligent ones, those of intellect, those they are the one who, ones who, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim, whether standing, sitting or laying down, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, and they ponder and they apply their minds over the creation of the heavens and the earth. This is something that has been praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we travel, then let us marvel at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqeen. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nur, following Allah's description of how the embryo is, how the embryo grows in the womb of the mother, and how the bones grow and how the flesh is attached to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all this and then he says, Tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqeen. Lofty and high is that being, ahsanul khaliqeen, who is the best of creators. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of creators. So when we visit such places and we witness the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then take it upon us to marvel at it and also to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a means of increasing ourselves in faith, increasing our iman as well, by witnessing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also to make safar and go to Masjid al-Aqsa or to go to Masjid al-Nabawi solely with the intention to visit these masajid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no travel to any masjid should be taken with the intent of visiting that masjid in particular, except Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi and Masjid al-Aqsa. No other masjid should be visited with the sole intention of visiting that masjid. However, whenever we are out and we are traveling, then we should seek out the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though that our intention was not specifically to visit that masjid, we may have went to a certain place for a certain maqsad and certain purpose. However, we should seek out the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in the houses of Allah, and this is a sign of iman, a sign of a believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, from amongst those people on the day of Qiyamah who will be recipients of the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the rest of the creation will be denied such, and the sun will be so close above the heads and people will be drowning in their own perspiration, from amongst those who will be given the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rajulun qalbuhu mu'allakum bil masajid. It is that person whose heart is attached to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us continue visiting the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever we may be. Wherever we may be, seek the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maintain our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the understanding and the ability. There are various maqasid and reasons for traveling. As we said, taking lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Siru fil ard, for various reasons. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing the kuffar of Makkah Mukarrama, telling them, Siru fil ardi fanzuru kayfa kana aqibah. And various places this verse comes, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to go and see the result of those people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the result of the people of Aad, the people of Thamud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them and says, go and see what their end result was. So from amongst the reasons of travel is to go and take lesson from those remnants of those people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as believers, we read these verses, perhaps we may not get the opportunity to go and see these places, and perhaps we should not go and see these places, but we should ponder over the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to take lesson. So to travel in order to take any type of particular lesson. Another lesson and something that we may ponder over as we travel. When a person is traveling, then he will not continuously travel day and night, but there will be stations for stopping. He will stop at a certain place, take a rest, etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding himself, said, Ma li walid dunya? What do I have to do with this world? Ma ana karakibin? Ma ana illa karakibin? I am only like a traveler. Istadhalla tahta shajara, who takes rest under a tree. Thumma raha wa tarakaha, and then he leaves that shade of that tree and he continues on his journey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then commanded his ummah as well and said, Kun fid dunya ka annaka ghareeb aw aabiru sabil. Be in this world be in this world like a stranger or a traveler. Be in this world like a stranger or a traveler. This is how we should be living our lives. So when we are traveling, then let us ponder over our purpose in this world. That we have not been sent to this world to enjoy this world, but we have been sent to this world for the hereafter. Our purpose is the akhirah. Our purpose is the hereafter. So we are here to seek knowledge. We are here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will end on this quote of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. And he says in his diwan, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah himself, he embodied this type of travel. He was born in Gaza in Palestine. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, his grave is in Cairo in the old city. So Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah traveled for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And he says in his poetry, and he says, تغرب عن الأوطان في طلب العلا. That leave your homes and go in search of loftiness. Leave your homes, leave your countries, leave your hometowns, and go in search of loftiness. وسافر ففي الأسفار خمس فوائد. And travel, for indeed in travel there are five great benefits in traveling. Then he says, تفريج هم, to remove one's stress, to remove stress. A person travels in order to remove himself from stressful situations. واكتساب معيشة, and in order to seek a livelihood. وعلم وآداب وصحبة ماجد, and to seek knowledge and to seek adab as well. Notice that he has separated knowledge and he has separated it from adab. He has separated it from etiquette. So these are two separate things that we need to learn and acquire. That we acquire knowledge, but knowledge in itself is not everything if it is not coupled with amal and practice upon that knowledge that we have gained. So we need to learn adab as well from the people of adab, from the people of tasawwuf, the mashayikh. We go and sit at their feet and learn how to practice on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَصُحْبَةُ مَاجِدِي. And this is how we will attain this ilm and this adab. صُحْبَةُ مَاجِدِي. To seek a noble companionship. Looking for noble companionship. So these are five intentions that we should make as well when we travel. That we seek knowledge as well. We look to learn adab. We look for good companionship. And also to find relief from our stress. And as well as وَاكْتِسَابُ مَعِيشَةٍ. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice on whatever good has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
So jazakumullah khairan to our esteemed guests, Qari Hudhayfa Isaac, Imam at Westgate Masjid in Houghton, for those pertinent and very valuable advices. Allah reward him for sacrificing his valuable time and for sharing those very valuable advices. Reminder once again, it's an opportunity for us to show our love for the house of Allah Ta'ala. Let us inshallah donate as generously as possible, many local residents here also, and to have a share in whatever good emanates from the masjid. With ikhlas, sincerity, we donate for the masjid, the madrasa inshallah, with sincerity and ikhlas and far-reaching niyyah, as we have learned intention is very important. With far-reaching intentions inshallah, the rewards will simultaneously accrue, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أمرنا باغتنام الأوقات في أداء الطاعات وعمل الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله القائل نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله عز وجل. قال سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. عباد الله، إن الوقت هو حياة الإنسان، وهو من أعظم نعم الله علينا، وما مضى منه لا يعود ولا يعوض. لذلك حثنا ديننا العظيم على اغتنامه والحرص على الاستفادة منه واستثماره فيما يعنينا وينفعنا في الدنيا والآخرة. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس: شبابك قبل هرمك، وصحتك قبل سقمك، وغناك قبل فقرك، وفراغك قبل شغلك، وحياتك قبل موتك. وقد أقسم الحق تبارك وتعالى بالعصر على خسارة من لم يملأ عمره بطاعته جل جلاله، فقال تعالى: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. ولأهمية الوقت، فقد أقسم الله تعالى بأوقات كثيرة، قال تعالى: والفجر وليال عشر، وقال: والصبح إذا تنفس، وقال: والضحى والليل إذا سجى، وقال: والليل إذا يغشى، والنهار إذا تجلى. فاحرصوا عباد الله على اغتنام أوقاتكم، واستثمروها في أمور دنياكم وآخرتكم، وأعرضوا عن كل ما لا يعنيكم، واعملوا بقول نبيكم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. أقول قولي هذا، وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن، وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن، وحافظوا على الجمع والجماعة، ووطنوا أنفسكم على السمع والطاعة، واعلموا أن الله أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه، وثنى بملائكة المسبحة بقدسه، وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من برية جنه وإنسه، فقال تبجيلا لقدر حبيبه وتعظيما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وأنعم وترحم وتحنن على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن جميع الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم أيد الإسلام وأنصاره، اللهم أذل الشرك وأشراره، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واجعلنا منهم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، وأعز الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم عليك بأعدائك أعداء المسلمين، اللهم شتت شملهم ومزق جمعهم، وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم. رحمة Thank you. استووا وكان straighten the rows then shoulder to shoulder. الله أكبر. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. ولله ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله العظيم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. وأنبت أولادنا في الإسلام نباتا حسنا واجعلهم من الأبرار والمتقين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصل اللهم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.